1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
We're taking the pulse of voters. As you know, over the next few days, we'll be talking with Margaret Gray tonight on our Campaign 2004 report. We'll also have a anti-Bush parody song, as dictated to me by our program Vice President David G. Hall. And tomorrow night, of course, Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and another chapter of another edition of the Jim Rome Show. Tonight we also have, I'm kind of jumping back and forth here, Margaret Gray, Lloyd Bonafide this evening, and the Walter David Maynard segment, tips for Halloween costume parties. Mr. Maynard, by the way, is an inmate at Rayford Prison, which is a maximum security prison in the state of Florida. But he comes on our program periodically with ideas on makeup, dating, cooking, and now Halloween costumes. But let me bring on our very first caller here. This is a gentleman. Your name is Christian Lee. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, that's right.
And where do you live?
I live at 2115.
No, don't give me your address, but what city do you live in?
I live in New York City.
And are you going to vote?
Yeah, I'm going to vote.
Okay, you're not sure, or this is just a random, you know, when Chris, my producer's named Chris.
Yeah, no, I talked to him.
And he said that you're a voter, right?
Yeah, I'm voting.
Okay, tell me who you want to vote for.
Well, a lady told me that I should vote for John Kerry. So that's all I'm saying. You know, she said,
what do you mean the lady told you?
A lady come up to me like 2 days ago, and she said, you know, I'll give you $50, and you go out here and vote for John Kerry. I said, well, I registered to vote. She said, that's all right. You know, you go down here, I'll show you how. So,
wait a minute, somebody came up to you and said, if you vote for John Kerry, she'll give you $50, and she'll show you how?
Yeah, she took me over to a place, and they put my name down, asked me my address, and said, well, I don't live anywhere currently. You know, my car is parked over on, my car right now is parked over on 3rd Avenue. I said, well, I guess I'm living there, you know. And they said, well, give us a permanent address.
Let me just want to ask you something, Mr. Lee. So somebody came up to you and said they'll give you $50 if you vote for John, and they helped you to register to vote?
Yeah, that's the best of my recollection anyway, you know. So,
you're going to go and vote for John Kerry.
Well, yeah, she said she'd give me $50, you know. And like a lot of time I'll sell my sperm or I sell my blood, you know. But I make more money voting for John Kerry than I ever did selling sperm. So I probably won't sell any sperm anymore. I probably, if they want me to, I'll vote for him again, you know.
You make more money voting for John Kerry than you did selling sperm, huh?
Yeah, that. Or one time I sold blood, you know. But I don't make, like, what I'm saying is,
do you regularly vote?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I never vote. I don't vote because, you know, they're all crooks. You know, they're just all crooks. You know, they just. I would never vote for no crook, you know.
So you've never voted until this election. You will vote, though, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess. No, I don't. She gave me the $50. I don't know if she's going to come check, see if I do vote or not. But she said, hey, will you go down here? You make sure you go vote for John Kerry, but I don't know if she's gonna do anything to me if I don't vote for John Kerry. You know, like sue me or something. I probably ought to do it, but I don't see she's not around here no more. You know, I seen her yesterday walking around here. But
where are you right now?
I'm on Broadway. I'm 163rd, actually, in Lexington right now.
163rd in Lexington. So you're up way up there in Harlem, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So you don't see a lot of white folk. Come around here. But she was a white lady, and she's a nice lady, so I said, well, you know.
You're thinking about it, huh?
Yeah, I'll think about it, but she signed a bunch of friends of mine up and everything. I got $50. We partied, you know, like that.
What'd you do with the 50?
I went down at number one, some wine with it, you know.
Bought some wine? You got any food?
Yeah, I got some food. I got some food. I got a 40-ounce of you know, something, I forget.
Let me guess, Old English?
Yeah, that's probably what it was, yeah. That's probably what it was, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And what'd you get for food?
I got some pork rind, you know, I got some potato chip. And I got some, Hawaiian punch and that kind of thing, you know. because she gave me this T-shirt, too. And
what's the T-shirt? Is it a nice T-shirt?
Well, it says here, it says vote for John Kerry on it. She wanted me to wear it on it, but I put it on only because it's clean. You know, I don't have any clean clothes right now because the laundromat that I use, they're renovating it, you know. So most of my stuff's in my car. And
so you're wearing the John Kerry shirt because at least it's a clean shirt, huh?
Yeah, you know. But like I said, you know, she's a nice lady and everything. And
so she gave it a $50. Are you going to be sober when you vote?
I hope so. I hope so. Every day I wake up, I say, I got to stay sober today. You know, I hope so. I really do.
But you're not.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, every day I get up, I say, Christian, today's the day. You know, you've got to stay sober today. You know, get a job and that. But it never works out too good, you know. But
so she gave you the 50. You bought yourself some wine. Has you got enough wine to maybe get yourself a little taste before you go voting? Or you're not going to, you hope you don't drink that day, huh?
I'm going to try to drink it all before I have to vote. You know, I don't want to have no wine or anything left over because I don't feel important that I remember what I'm supposed to vote for.
Yeah, it's John Kerry. That's what the lady told you to do. Remember that, okay?
I hope I do remember, but sometimes I, you know.
Do you black out?
Do I black out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I do black out. You know, I don't remember a lot of, you know, stuff that I do, you know, but.
All right, well, Christian, thank you for talking to us here on the Phil Hendry Show. You've been on the radio here live.
Oh, yeah?
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that, no.
Didn't he tell you?
No, the man didn't that, no. You got me on radio now?
Yes, sir.
I've got, hey.
Hey, Jay, I got on the...
Hey, Phil. Can I say hello to some people? Say...
Yeah.
Emos, I want to say I love you very much. Sleepy, I want to say I love you very much, too. And I want to say to my mother, who is dying of cancer or something, I think, that I love you, and I wish I could be there. But right now, I'm trying to get my stuff together, you know, and I'm sure my mother would appreciate that, but I'm just trying to get my life together, you know. And I want to give a shout-out, you know, to everybody. And I guess, you know, for the lady, you know, make sure y'all vote for John Kerry.
Okay.
And that's great. I didn't know I was on the radio and anything.
Yeah, he Chris got you to get on the radio.
Okay. That's great. You know. So I want to go over to KFC. They're going to close here. And,
well, get over to KFC, man. And then don't spend all of your money before you may want to watch the debates.
I want to watch the debate. When is that on?
That's going to be on Thursday night.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I want to watch that too, you know?
Yeah, you want to get informed about the candidates. Of course, I guess you don't have to get informed about them if the lady paid you $50 to vote for Kerry, huh?
Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess I don't, yeah. That's a good point, you know? Well.
All right, well, get on over to KFC, Christian, and thank you for speaking with us this evening, okay?
All right. I want to give a shout-out to one more, Reverend Apollo, who's a very good man. He helped me out one time with the mission out there on 3rd Street in Charleston, South Carolina. He's a very good man.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you.
All right. And let me just say one more thing. You know, today is the first day of the rest of your life, right? But yesterday, right, I damn near died on that Sneaky Pete wine, you know? So,
yeah, I hear you, man. I got to get going, okay?
All right, okay. But just remember one more thing, okay?
Yeah.
Like, always do the right thing, like the man said in the movie. And another thing, never, ever take a walk on the wild side, okay? Because I would go to heaven on a round-trip ticket, you know?
Yeah, all right. I got to go, man, okay?
All right, okay. But I thank you very much, and God bless you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless the lady who gave me the 52. I want to say that, too.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll see you later.
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
So there's a cat that's voting for John Kerry. Why? He got $50 to do it. Yeah! I got to get over to KFC. It's closing. Only on the Phil Hendry Show will you hear just in-depth human interest stories like that. 1-800-449-8686. Tonight, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. We'll hear from Lloyd Bonafide, who has a new problem in his neighborhood. A man has moved in. He is a single. He's elderly. He's a senior, but he's single. And will that agitate and pretty much make the women of the neighborhood, the old women of the neighborhood, restless? We'll find out with Lloyd tonight. Walter David Maynard, the inmate from Rayford Prison, with tips on Halloween costume making. And tomorrow night, of course, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and the Jim Rome Show, right here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Get ready, Apalachicola. It's the Skippy and Frank Show, serving the entire Upper Gulf Coast area. Skippy and Frank, wild and crazy morning show duo.
22 minutes after hour, the Skippy and Frank here, 22 minutes after hour.
And I'm Frank.
Hey, what are we going to do today, Frank?
Well, I'll tell you what we do. We carve some pumpkins that look exactly like George Bush and John Kerry.
You see this? We got these pumpkins, and they look exactly like John Kerry and George Bush.
That's what I just said. Yeah, we got these pumpkins that look just like Jerry Bush and Joe Kerry.
I mean, Jeff Kerry, right?
And Joe Bush.
That'd be really funny, yeah. That'd be really funny, I think. That'd be a riot. That'd be a riot if their names were like Joe Bush and Jeff Kerry.
Yeah, that'd be really funny.
All right, so we're going to start shooting a pumpkin out the window, okay? Well, just remember, hey, you should vote. And if you don't vote, like the wrong guy's going to. If you don't vote, everything is going to be bad, like nuclear war or something, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, so let's shoot the first pumpkin out. What pumpkin do you want to shoot out?
I want to shoot a picture of, a pumpkin that looks like Jeff Kerry.
Yeah, like Jim Kerry.
Yeah.
Hey, what if the president's name was Jim Kerry? You think, like, guys in other countries would think, oh, wow, am I meeting the president or am I meeting Jim Kerry? I don't know, you know?
Yeah, who do they send to the airport? Like the prime minister?
Or a circus clown, yeah. All right, here we go. You got it?
Yeah, I got the, whatever his name is, Kerry pumpkin. Here we go.
Shoot it. Yeah, all right, it's right out there. Oh, laying out there at 3rd Street, right down there near the Mellon Farm. Right out there at the farmer's market. Oh, you hit an old lady.
Hit an old lady.
All right, it's 2 points, hit an old lady. All right, what's the next one?
All right, let's, how about a Joe Bush pumpkin?
Yeah, President Joe Bush.
How about President John Bush?
Oh, that's rude. That is rude. Can you imagine if the president's name was John Bush? That's so rude. All right, go ahead.
Here goes the John Bush pumpkin.
Woo-hoo! Right out there. All right, tell what we're going to do right now is we're going to go on out to Commander Bud Hall. Commander Bud Hall, he's got the traffic force right now. Commander Bud Hall out there in the traffic. Hey, Commander Hall, what's going on out there?
Give me a break right now. We got traffic backed up there on the main artery out of town, about the I-95, near the 15. And also, we're going to be tracking traffic today. We want to make sure that, hey, watch those pumpkins, guys. They're shooting them pretty close to me.
You can take it.
Yeah, you can take it. Come on, Commander.
All right. But anyway, guys, traffic is backed up in the main arteries leading out of town because of this week's Strawberry Festival. So I want to make sure that everybody gets an early start today. And make sure that, whoa, they're going to throw their pumpkin there. You guys are so nuts. Oh, you're hysterical. So,
Did that one come close to the helicopter?
Yeah, did it come close?
Well, I tell you, yeah, I got a little close. Skippy and Frank, I want to also mention to you guys that there's a really need for you to donate blood this week. Yes, that's right. Donate blood this week for your Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Florida, whatever state we're working in these days. And make sure that when you donate blood, there's your... Oh, my God, coming at the helicopter! You jackasses! I'm out of control! I'm out of control! Gosh!
Wait, what's going on? Siren.
I hope they're coming to arrest you, pieces of...
What's going on?
I don't know.
Hello, Provider. Skippy and Frank Show. We'll be right there. Is that somebody at the door?
And it goes.
Open up!
Hi, yes, sir?
My name is Sergeant Jeffries, Florida State Patrol, and you guys are under arrest.
For what?
You murdered a man with a flying pumpkin, you piece of turd. Now put your hands behind your back.
Well, what do we do?
Hey, are you really arresting us? This isn't some kind of a, like a Baba Booey joker?
No, this isn't Baba Booey, you jackass. Get your hands behind your back. And turn that freaking music off.
Hold on, I gotta take a call.
Take your call.
Yeah?
This is Don Charles, the station manager. Are you guys under arrest now? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, you're fired.
Come on, come on, don't cry.
I don't want to go to jail.
You murdered a man. You blew him right out of his helicopter. Hey, listen to that. He said we blew him out of his helicopter.
I got the chopper up flying again. I think I can make it back to base. I just hope that extra gas tank I have doesn't blow. Oh, shoot! It did.
The Skippy and Frank Show will be back on a station somewhere real soon.
I'm Commander Bud Hall, and if I ever get my hands on Skippy and... Well, there goes the rest of the gas.
Poor Skippy and Frank canned from another gig. This time they almost killed the traffic reporter. Well, they'll be back, like they said. They are our fun-loving morning show duo. Always with a wacky, you know, stunt up their something. Up their sleeve, I guess is the term. 1-800-449-8686. And you're listening to the Phil Henry Show. And tonight we have Margaret Gray with her Campaign 2004 report coming up in our second hour of the show. We'll also have in our third hour Lloyd Bonafide. Mr. Bonafide is a retired man living in Alhambra with his wife. But a new man has moved into the neighborhood, a single elderly man. And apparently the women there are getting restless. Just looking at the news, Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a bill banning smoking in prisons. Hey, Arnold, here's an idea. How about banning rape? Good God. You mind if the guys have a cigarette every now and again after someone bends them over a canister of powder or some kind of corn flour somewhere in a storage room? Some guy says, you know, in work, at least let me have a cigarette after I got tooled in the shower. How about, you know that President Bush, I know that this is something I shouldn't bring up because it's so dour and serious. You know President Bush is the first American president in the history of the country to sign an anti-rape, a prison anti-rape bill? Like nobody's ever done that before except him. I bet you didn't know that. I bet you probably don't care, do you? But I figured as long as we were worried about Iraqi prisoners, we might have a little concern about our own. I don't know. It's just a crazy idea, just a goofy thought. We were worried about guys getting underwear on their head. How about some dude getting tooled out there near the basketball hoops? Well, anyway, at least they won't be smoking. Guy won't die of lung cancer, but, no one ever died from rape, or did they? Nice one, Arnie. And then other news that we have for you, Al Franken has taken his radio show on a campaign trail. You know, for all the publicity this guy gets for his radio show, you'd think he'd have boxcar freaking numbers. This guy's got, he can't even bust a one share, and he's getting news story after news story about his boring show. Al Franken's taking his radio show on a campaign trail. The Al Franken Show will broadcast live across the country. It serves a lot of purposes, Franken said. The main one is to drive me into the ground before the elections. Good. The other, of course, is Al actually thinks he's influencing somebody, which he ain't. The satirist commentator shares hosting duties with... Did I tell you I saw his show the other day on Sundance Channel? Oh, my God. I wanted to just go... You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get up. I wanted to just walk calmly to the closet... and end it. So Al's got his show. It's going on the road. And, oh, yeah, the recent polls show 3 years after September 11th, Americans are feeling safer while remaining determined to fight terrorism. According to Kerry, though, we're less safe. And according to Kennedy, we're less safe. So you guys that feel safer, less vulnerable, which is the majority of Americans, you guys are, I guess you're in for a rude awakening or something. Like maybe right after Kerry gets elected, another terrorist strike. Okay, we got a equal time segment coming up, and we have Margaret Gray on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Welcome back to our program. Margaret Gray coming up in the next hour with our Campaign 2004 report. Lloyd Bonafide tonight, the retired heating and plumbing man, Korean War veteran, and all-around nice guy. And also we have Walter David Maynard coming up on our show. We'll have Jay Santos with a little tease of what he'll be doing on our show tomorrow night. Bud, go ahead, bring in the gentleman.
All right, come on in, Mr. Malia.
How are you, sir?
Manamunuwele.
Okay, does this guy speak English?
No, he doesn't. He is going to do a... well, you're supposed to talk to Mr. Hall.
All right, David, let me just talk to David here for a minute, Mr. Malawea, right?
Yeah, we'll do anything.
David, what's the story here?
It's some equal time. He does parody music. He hates Bush. He's from Hawaii, which is a pro-Democrat state, so he's going to do a, you know...
You're going to do a parody song, sir? I don't understand what he's saying.
It doesn't matter. He's going to sing the song. Just let him sing the song. What do I got to come on all the time and explain stuff to you for? Just let him do the bit.
All right. Go ahead. Whatever you want to do, sir.
Mary, you just sit right here, Mr. Little Beta.
Will you shut him up? What is this anyway?
He's doing a parody song.
What do you mean a parody song, man? All I'm hearing is...
Well, that's part of the song, you idiot.
Oh, I'm an idiot, am I?
Well, don't argue with the retard. Don't you know a parody song when you hear it?
What is this, an anti-Bush parody song, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
And so, he's singing against Bush?
Yeah.
Well, what's all that...
Well, who cares what it is? That's part of the tune.
All right, Mr. Manawea, go ahead, sir. Get him out of here, bud.
All right, man, you're going to get mad. This cultural, bigotry.
What does he want now?
What did you do? Did you bust the guy's ukulele?
You're damn right I did.
That's going to cost me.
All them cats sing the same anyway.
You'll be sorry.
Yeah, I'll be sorry. Wade Guthrie is a businessman from the Las Vegas area, and I don't know whether you heard the news, but the Ponderosa Ranch, a great symbol of the rugged Old West, or at least as it was portrayed in Hollywood, is riding off into the sunset. The Ponderosa Ranch, an American West theme park where the television show Bonanza was filmed, closed on Sunday after its sale to a financier, and I wanted to get on the line a gentleman who has some interest in it. Now, you don't own this property as of yet, sir?
No, sir, we do not, but we're very much interested in pursuing a partnership with the new owner, and I think we've got a wonderful idea, Phil, for Ponderosa Ranch.
What do you want to do with it?
Well, I think it's a very natural place to have a whorehouse or what you call a...
You mean a brothel, sir?
All right, yes, sir. That's what I mean. I'm not accustomed to speaking on the radio, but...
All right, a brothel?
A brothel, a whore, a brothel. We could have it.
So you want to turn where Little Joe and Big Tim or whatever the hell their name was?
No, it was Little Joe and it was that other guy, a Hoss.
Yeah, Hoss and Adam and what was the name of the father, Chris?
It was Ben.
It was Lawn Green.
It was Ben. It was Ben Cartwright.
Oh, yeah. He played Ben Cartwright. Well, I'd like to take that whole spread and turn it into one. Boy, you have yourself a hell of a time. You'd be fighting off all the migrant workers, everybody trying to find yourself a beautiful little girl because they're going to be... they'll be coming right out of the windows in the joint, and we'll turn it into a big, marvelous, whore brothel. What's so funny?
You mean a whore brothel?
Well, whatever you call it, son. But I'd love to do that, and I hope that the new owner will return my phone calls. He hasn't as of yet.
Have you asked him, have you told him what your idea is?
Yeah, I left a message. I said I'd like to turn the Ponderosa Ranch into a whorehouse, and he hasn't called back yet, but I'm sure he will. So
yeah, I'll bet he will, dude. Look, that ain't going to fly.
Come again?
You kidding me? Ponderosa Ranch? Look, first of all, those cherry ranches they got up there, dude, they make a passable living, but I wouldn't say that they're box office. I mean, how many more of those places do they need?
Well, we have a theme for it, and I think that...
You have a theme?
Yeah, absolutely.
What is that?
Well, we are going to have the girls dress, like Hoss and all that, and Little Joe. And we'll have one running around there looking like Hop Sing. And, it's going to be, I think, something just totally unique. I'm in the entertainment business. And
I just want to be clear. the women are going to dress like Little Joe and Haas and Hop Sing.
Yeah, and then the madam...
She'll look like Lorne Greene.
That's right.
Well, won't that be appetizing, huh? Just walk right in there and a lady meets you at the door and she looks just like Lorne Greene.
Yeah, with the flat nose and the mutton chops. And then...
Okay, well, you know, good luck with your business. I mean, I...
Well, don't you want to hear more? Don't you want to hear about how we're going to get the boys from Big Valley involved? And they're all going to look like that Peter Breck weirdo and Lee Majors? And also, we want to turn it into a whorehouse, you see? Savvy?
I savvy, dude. So there he is, a real jackass. Get these people out of here. Get them off my phone. Get them all out of here.
Well, you might have interviews.
I got interviews, man. I need to talk to some freak. The madam meets you at the door looks like Lorne Greene. Yeah, that'll stir up some business. It'll scare it away.
Funny.
All right, and thanks a lot for that parody music. Ukulele music, huh? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Jim Rome Show coming up tomorrow night. I don't know what the hell he's going to be talking about tomorrow night. And you know how we have Romy on every now and again? And he always buzzes some guy and says he's out. Some crap like that. And we'll also have Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us. Our website is www.philhenryshow.com. It's a place to go for a backstage pass to hear the audio from our show. We got 30-day archive. We have our comedy archives. We also have a souvenir shop. You can pick up merchandise from the Phil Hendry Show. High-quality stuff. I'm wearing the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt tonight, as a matter of fact. I'm wearing the beautiful royal blue and black Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. We have the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, Honolulu, and are we going to have that South Beach one or not? We're supposed to have a Miami Beach one coming up. You can also pick up Jay Sanos, Citizens Auxiliary Police gear. We'll be talking to Jay in a few minutes. He'll be on the show tomorrow night. And Bobby Dooley's Western Estates crap, too. Friday, is that this Friday? How about that? We're broadcasting from Salt Lake City this coming Friday. And if you'd like to listen, I don't know if it's not going to sound any different. It'll just be me, you know, in Salt Lake City. It's the crazy thing about doing remotes. I could tell you I'm in Kenya. What difference does it make? Well, I'm in Kenya, and it's groovy. You know, outside some cat with a spear, you don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here, and I'm in Kenya. So on Friday, I'll sound just the way I do now, except I'll be in Salt Lake City. And then maybe tomorrow night, we'll sound exactly like this, and we're in, Chechnya. So don't forget that. And also, when you're on our website, pick up the Steve Bozell for President t-shirt. Vote for me or I'll sue you. It's all there at www.philhenryshow.com. I think we've got some breaking news with Bob Bakian coming up in just a moment. And
who are you voting for anyway?
Didn't I tell you not to interrupt me?
I just want to know, who are you voting for?
After all the time that I've been spent talking on the show, even who I'm voting for.
No, I just want to know.
Ain't it obvious by now who I'm voting for?
Yeah, but celebrities never tell the truth. You think that Ryan Seacrest and Carson Daly like girls. You never know that they don't.
Anyway,
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. Yeah, even though I said I support President Bush, maybe I'm a Kerry guy.
Yeah.
Just like Carson Daly says he likes girls, but...
He's queer.
Get out of here, man, before you get me sued.
Queer.
Get out of here, bud.
Carson's Daily Queer. Carson Daly's Queer.
Get out of here, man.
I bet you him and Ryan Secret.
Ow! Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, Margaret Gray in a few minutes. Lloyd Bonafide later on tonight. Tomorrow night, Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And another Phil Hendry version of the Jim Rome Show. Here is one of the reasons why I have to watch the debate on... And I'm going to tell you guys right now, the first hour of our show on Thursday night most probably will be a tape of some kind. I'm just letting you know because... And it'll be a good one. I mean, a tape of our show is better than 90% of the shows out there that are live. So, hey, you know. But I got to watch this debate. I got to know what the hell it is I'm talking about. And that whole TiVo thing's fine, but, you know, that night I got to be able to talk about it. And in any event, I got to watch the debate because here's a poll. Now, remember, somebody's got their head somewhere up there because one of these two guys is nuts. Here's a poll. 3 years after September 11th, I mentioned this, Americans are feeling less vulnerable while remaining determined to fight terrorism. Now, President Bush says that we're safer. The American people, according to this poll, are feeling safer. Senator Kerry says we're less safe, but President Bush is making us feel more afraid.
Savvy?
I mean, you cats following that. If you're a better man than me, if you could follow that one. Law don't go around here, law dog.
Savvy?
I dig that. President Bush has made us less safe. The American people, though, are feeling more safe. President Bush says we are more safe. But the fact is, he's making us feel more afraid. Come on, man. Yeah, it gets to the point where, like, if you're three, you could throw a vote in this election, man, and not worry about it having any. I mean, seriously, why don't they start registering four-year-olds? I don't think you have to be all that bright to vote. Do you?
Well, this is a very important decision. We should leave it to the adults.
Why leave it to the adults? Half the time they don't vote. And the issues are so comically debated and are so simplistically laid out that a five-year-old could vote. I think we ought to lower the voting age to 10. Just cut the difference. What do you think, 10-year-olds? Are you 10?
Well, yeah, I thought...
Well, then why aren't you voting? Yes, you can help this country, you little punk.
I don't want to vote. I don't want to get in there and vote.
Yes, that's the sound of another happy voter being shoved into a booth. My kids, when they were 10, I'll tell you right now, my kids knew all about the planet Earth when they were 10. Ain't that right, parents out there? You got kids, right? Now, of course, I got teenagers, and they got it all down, man. They got it all figured out. They got it all. Until, of course, they move out, and does that mean the lease on my car, do I still have to pay for the car? Yeah. Well, how's that fair? Hey, welcome to the planet, dude. Welcome to life as we know it. Ain't it great having teenagers? I got three teenage sons, and like all teenage boys and girls, they have everything figured out. They know exactly how things ought to work, how society goes, what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, right? And then they hit 18, and they move out, and suddenly they don't have all the information they thought they had. And you just, it's a real kick to see them drag themselves through the door broke and drunk. I'm kidding about the broke part. So I say voting in this election is going to be easy. All you got to do is listen to what the guys are saying. You can vote if you like a guy, if you really like a president who is thoughtful about the war in Iraq. I think Senator Kerry is a thoughtful man. Well, well, what do you think? Well, it's good, but it's bad. It's I could dig a guy like that. I could like a guy who's sort of knows what he's doing with that, but probably ain't too good at the, you know, when it comes to economic things. A guy like Bush, like, well, we're going to go out and kick a lot of terrorist ass. What about creating some jobs?
What?
Well, how about getting some guys back to work? I, talk to Dick Cheney about it. What are you talking about? You know, vote for him. I'm voting for him, man. Because I got a job. All right, so that's that. And then in Oakland, they have stopped roadblocks to check whether drivers are under the influence. You want to know why? Because they were busting too many people who were illegal immigrants. And the Latino community, the illegal Latino community, I guess, or Latina, or the Latino-Latina community, they got bugged about that because they were getting popped and at these checkpoints, right? So the Oakland police, being very nice guys and very considerate, are not going to enforce that law. They're going to move those roadblocks out of that area so those cats don't have to get stopped. And you find out they're illegal and they get carted back to Mexico in a bus, right? So let's say you're a parent and your kid gets run over by a drunk because there wasn't a drunk checkpoint in that neighborhood. I ain't saying he was a drunk Mexican. I'm just saying those DUI checkpoints check for guys that are liquored up driving around, right? And they happen to nail some people that are illegal immigrants. And I don't know why that's bad. I thought cops were supposed to enforce the law, but it's like, hey, look, I'm willing to roll with this, baby. It's a whole new day, 21st century. Some laws you enforce, some laws, So let's say your kid gets run over by some liquored up joyriding juice hound, right? Because they did have a DUI checkpoint in that area, but they stopped it because it was stopping some Latinos, right? I tell you what, you should consider that to be your little contribution to making America a much more welcoming place for all kinds of folks, even ones that aren't supposed to be here. How about that? I guess that makes me a racist, right? Well, and I'm here to tell you, I am a flaming freaking racist, man. I am Adolf Lucille Hitler. Just call me Adol. Just call me Addy for short. I ain't kidding you. If that makes me a racist, then I hate every Mexican that was ever born. I mean, let's just, if these cats, that's what they do. They go, it's totally racist to say that these people are, yeah, okay, man, that's fine. Then I'm a racist. I hate every brown skin out there. How about that? All right? You want to just lay it out there on a line? Because that's what those cats are saying. They're saying it's racist. Honest to God, man, they're saying it's like racist to have these DUI checkpoints in Oakland because it's like a drag to be busted for being illegal. You know, it shouldn't happen. And if you have those checkpoints, you're a racist, man. Like, I've been called a racist so much in my life, even though I've had 4 black girlfriends, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 3 Mexican girlfriends, and one kind of a Chinese mix, kind of a, an almond eye mix thing. Little pigtail and almond eyes, man. Order of the day. Why, some of my best friends are white. So, if you got a kid and the kid gets run over and turned into tomato bisque by some cat that's out liquored up and riding around on Sneaky Pete wine, and what's left of your kid is like a blood smear on a freeway median, well, just remember that you can't have those DUI checkpoints because it's racist, is what it is. Jay Santos joins us with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What do you think about that, Jay?
I can't agree with you more. I think it's just nuts. Yeah, the whole thing is very nuts, but what we're trying to do, of course, the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Well, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is something that has been formed to, take a peek over the shoulder?
That is our slogan. We take a peek over the shoulder of the police, and we try to get as many people up off of the, try to pick up some of the pieces the police don't do. So, if we take a peek around, is what we do.
You take a peek around? Like how?
Well, nothing really all that. For instance, if you've got some videotapes that you haven't returned to the video store, it technically is a crime. I'm not just talking technically. I take a peek around your underwear drawer, make sure there's no tapes around there, something like that.
So you're poking around in my wife's purse or underwear drawer just to make sure she doesn't have any tapes. What if they're not rewound?
Well, that's a double problem that we do want to solve that. But we'll talk a little bit about that and talk a lot about the election coming up and talk a lot about, a little problem we got with Mexicans and all that kind of deal. Coming up tomorrow night with Jay Santos. This is also your police.
Okay, Jay. See you later, man. Goodbye. He fell asleep. All right, coming up, Margaret Gray on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Do we have the line from New York? Okay. Later on, we have Lloyd Bonafide with us, and right now, Margaret Gray with her campaign 2004 report, and things heating up along the campaign trail, huh, Margaret?
Yeah, Phil, I was over at Josh Bennett's today, which is a department store here in New York City, because I wanted to get myself a pashmina. It's getting a little bit cold here in New York. And there was an individual at one of the perfume counters, and she looked like she was probably a tourist or something, and I overheard her say to the young lady that was helping her, and I'm going to use some language here that I hope your listeners don't find offensive, but I heard this woman say, and I don't know if you...
Well, that's okay. You can... I think we're if you have children who are sensitive, I know what the word is, and it's not that bad.
She said to the girl that was helping her that Senator Kerry looked like he had a pole up his ass, and I'm sure she thought that she was being very funny. And it shows a lot of people just how this kind of graphic language spreads so much hate. This tourist says that she thinks Senator Kerry looks like he has a pull up his ass. And the woman that was helping me sort of stopped and looked at me, and I sort of stopped. And the first thing I asked her was, are you going to let that happen? And so she said something to her manager, and basically, to make a long story short, the woman was escorted out of the store. And
well, how did you get the store to do that?
I do a lot of business with them. The people at Josh Bennett, they know us. We bring a lot of trade in there.
No, but I mean, what is wrong? I mean, the woman was expressing, albeit very crudely, a point of view.
I understand that it's an opinion, but as a nation, we have come further than that. It was really offensive, and I told her so as she was leaving. I told her it was very offensive. And really, Phil, I'm on your program tonight, I think, to ask your listeners, and my column's going to deal with this tomorrow morning, that we have come too far in this country to let bigotry touch us now and to touch our national campaign. We've made a good effort at wiping bigotry and hate speech from our social order, but we've obviously not done a good enough job.
Now, hold on for a minute here, because bigotry, as I understand bigotry, it's a predisposition against somebody based solely on what may be their religion or race, regardless of the quality of the person.
Absolutely. And I think what you're dealing with here in Senator Kerry's case, there is a bigotry against him, and there's a bias against him that is hateful. And to say in public, that guy Kerry looks like he has a pole up his ass, is not only offensive, it is bigoted. And we've been teaching in our schools, and certainly there have been many programs on public television, NPR, about the offensiveness of everything. And Kerry, to say that Kerry looks like he has a pull up his ass is this kind of hate speech run amok.
All right, but look, I have heard President Bush referred to as a guy who has a smirk on his face.
Absolutely.
And that he's stupid, that he's a fumbling idiot. And then, of course, I hear other people say he's actually just acting, he's phony. I've heard him called names.
Well, but in President Bush's case, here's something that I need to educate you and your listeners on. We're really talking there about character, which is a keystone topic in this campaign. And
well, what do you mean by character?
Well, I think in his case, it's not the same as Senator Kerry, because Bush is president, and you have what is called presidential immunity. And what that means is he gets away with a lot more. People can say things about him, but because of presidential immunity, it doesn't really stick. There isn't the pain associated with some of these comments made about President Bush that there is made about Senator Kerry. President Bush, to me, personally, he has the look to me of a drug dealer. You know I don't support him. But he looks like someone who is engaged in something underhanded, like drug or cocaine dealing.
Well, but right there, that's just as hateful as saying Kerry looks like he has a pole up his ass.
No, it's not, because...
Why?
Because the presidential immunity, you can't say things about him that is really going to hurt the way they hurt Senator Kerry.
All right, Margaret, hold on the line here, because I want to give our phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Campaign 2004 report with Margaret Gray in New York City. Please forgive the scratchy phone connection that we have. As the debate's round the corner on Thursday night, we're talking what you're calling hate speech that you heard today against Senator Kerry. Is somebody in a department store in New York, saying that the senator looked like he had a pole up his rear end.
And Phil, it's not just because President Bush has this kind of what is called presidential immunity. You can't say things about him that is really going to hurt the way they hurt Senator Kerry. And so if you say, you know, George Bush is stupid or something, or...
Well, you said that George Bush has the look of a drug dealer.
To me, he does, yes.
And that, to you, is not hate speech.
No, because he is president of the United States, he has presidential immunity. When you say that Senator Kerry looks like someone who has a pole up his rear end, that is so hateful and it's so offensive, it's obscene and profane. If I say that President Bush looks to me like a drug dealer, and he does, and you know very well, Phil, that I don't support the president.
Well, I know you don't. I know you don't, and I do. And I would say to you that that sounds profane to me.
What? Why is that profane? I can say that in front of a kindergarten class, and I will not be censored for it. I can't go into a kindergarten class and say that Senator Kerry looks like he has a pole up his ass. And so you say...
All right, but I would think if the worst thing that's ever been said about Senator Kerry is that he looks like he has a pole up his ass, as you heard the lady say, he's getting away with a minimum of damage.
Well, it is offensive, though, Phil. It's very, very offensive. It's hateful. And it really is the reason why I had that woman removed from Women's Apparel. And I'm on with you tonight to remind people not to let this happen. If you hear this kind of speech, I am saying, whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat, not to let people say these things about Senator Kerry that are patently hateful and offensive. I think it's very offensive if you hear it in school, if you hear it in your workplace, if you hear it. I want people to confront the person that said it and tell them right out they're a bigot. Call a spade a spade. And I'm very serious about this.
Wait a minute. If I'm standing in that same department store and I hear a woman say, George Bush looks like a drug dealer, I cannot...
Well, you're free to do whatever you want, but I think you're overstepping your bounds to infringe on someone's free speech. I'm talking about hate speech as regards to Senator Kerry. And
if I said that President Bush looks like he has a pole up his ass...
Yes.
You're saying that's not as bad as saying Senator Kerry.
I noticed how easily you fell into the phrase President Kerry. I like that.
No, but that's what you're saying.
No, it isn't. It's nowhere near as bad, because President Bush is the president, and you are allowed to critique him because of what he's done. You see, and... Because he has presidential immunity as well. You have to look up presidential immunity.
All right, how are you going to monitor what people do in their lives? If they hear someone say, Kerry looks like he has a pole up his ass, how are you going to monitor that? How are you going to stop that?
Well, there are legal remedies. And
such as?
Well, there is a wonderful thing called a class action lawsuit, which can be filed against taxpayers for this kind of hate speech. I don't want to hear it anymore. And to stand there in a public store, in a public place like a department store, and hear this tourist, this bumpkin, from some other city saying, that Kerry looks like he has a pole up his, you know, his you-know-what. I could have slapped her across her stupid tourist face, but I resisted the temptation. I did what I think we all should do. I went to the store manager and I said, you know, my name is Margaret Gray. I do an awful lot of business here. I showed them my credit card, the things that I've been doing. And I said, I want her out of here. And they hopped to it, and as well they should.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on the line with us. She heard what she calls hate speech today. Somebody said that John Kerry looks like he has a pole up his ass, is the actual quote. If you say the same thing, though, about President Bush, he has immunity because he's president, and so it doesn't hurt as much. It's the hate speech about Senator Kerry saying these things in public that she's concerned with. 1-800-449-8686. How do you stop people? And she wants to stop people from doing it. Whether you hear it out in public, whether you hear it in your home, if you hear somebody bad talk Senator Kerry, you should say something about it and have that person removed. How do you do that? I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're on with Margaret Gray this evening. This is our campaign 2004 report. And coming up next hour, don't forget Lloyd Bonafide. We'll also have a conversation with Jeff Dowder and more ahead on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I know women that will forgive cheating by a man for a short stack of pancakes.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I want to be clear. You were speaking with Barbara Streisand?
I was speaking with Barbara. I actually was talking to her about a couple of different things having to do with the campaign. But I mentioned the incident. And
that you overheard this lady in Josh Bennett's department store in New York saying that Kerry looked like he had a pole up his ass.
I did. And she said to me, and Barbara is, you know, not only just a great performer, she's also one of the clearest thinkers, and I think this country desperately needs people like Barbara Streisand, because she is a humanitarian. She loves her country very much. She, I think, knows what's best for the country. And I told her I heard this man say that Kerry, or this woman, I should say, Kerry had to pull up her ass, or up his ass, excuse me, and she was shocked. She said to me that I did the right thing, that she would have done exactly the same thing, and that...
Barbara Streisand said this.
Yes. So, you see, Phil, it isn't just me. There is an entire cadre of us in the Democratic Party who want Senator Kerry to be treated fairly and not hatefully and obscenely, as if to say that a man who hopefully will be president of the United States, walks around like he has a pole up his ass, I think is hateful. I really do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Harry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I disagree with Barbara on many points. I think that, first of all, her comment about Bush looking like a drug dealer is also hateful. And
well, my name is Margaret. My name is Margaret. It's not Barbara. I was talking with Ms. Streisand today.
Oh, I'm sorry, Margaret. But anyhow, I think that that's a double standard that you have. Also, people died for freedom of speech.
Well, wait a minute,
our soldiers are dying for freedom of speech.
What's wrong with
and
saying...
For you to have somebody kicked out of a store because they expressed a freedom of speech, maybe you disagree with the content. Maybe it could have been said in a better manner.
Well, I don't understand. You say that I shouldn't be allowed to say that George Bush looks like a drug dealer. Why not? Why can't I?
Why is that any different from saying that Kerry looks like he's got a pole up his ass?
Because the comment about Senator Kerry is obscene. It intimates, I think, certain things. Homosexuality. I think it is...
Well, no, wait a minute. The idea that the comment, someone's got to pull up their butt, is a long-standing way of saying someone's very stiff.
I think that, first of all, President Bush deserves the criticism. And that's the thing that you need to understand, Harry. President Bush deserves the criticism.
Who would also believe that Senator Kerry deserves the criticism.
To say that he takes a pull up his rear end. Well, that's great.
They didn't say he takes a pole up his rear end. You're the one who's putting the sexual connotations into it. The comment was that he looks like he's a stiff individual and not an average kind of a guy.
That's my understanding of a guy with a pole up his rear end.
Well, you know something, it's not mine, and I don't know where the two of you get your definitions, but to intimate that Senator Kerry takes a pole and...
No, they said he looks like...
He looks like he takes a pole.
No, that's not.
That's not what you said earlier. That's not the comment that you had the person kicked out of the store for.
No, that's what she said.
No, that's not what you said. She said, "You said she said he looks like he's got a pole up his butt," which is what people commonly say about people who are rather rigid in their manner, and maybe can't have a good time.
Well, you know what? I've got two of you who are pro Bush against me, anti Bush. So how am I going to win this argument?
But the argument isn't pro-Bush, anti-Bush. The argument is your comment about...
That Kerry takes a poll.
...kicking somebody out of the store for expressing... for freedom of speech.
Because...
That's what appalls me.
No, because...
And I am glad I'm not a tourist in the town. I mean, you talked about this woman as being some sort of bumpkin.
She's some kind of a hick from I don't know where,
As I say, I'm glad I'm not a tourist. I'm calling from a cell phone in Michigan. I'm glad I'm not a tourist in whatever town you're talking about there.
Well, where are you from?
Lansing, Michigan.
Well, see, that's hardly New York, is it? And so someone like yourself comes to New York, you make a comment about Kerry taking a pole in his rear end, and the next thing you know, you're offending people. And
You're going back on that.
So I guess only people from New York can make comments about things.
Well, let me ask you this, Harry. Do you have children, Harry? Do you want to have your son or daughter standing there while this rube from God knows where says, oh, that Kerry takes a pole?
Now, first of all, you didn't say that he said he takes a pole up his ass. The comment was he looks like he has one.
That's what, yes, difference. Exactly. Harry, thank you for your comment. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Ken on the Phil Hendry Show. Ken, go ahead.
Yes, I just first want to say I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm a big supporter of Kerry.
Thank God. We need all of you we can get.
And I'm not a supporter of Bush, but I disagree with you.
Hello?
Well, Ken, your car phone's crapping out. Hold on, buddy. I'm going to put you on hold. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Arnold. Arnold, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that it's just the Democrats think that everyone's picking on Kerry so much. I think the Democrats pick on Bush. It's not right. Everyone's got their free say.
Well, to say that George Bush takes a rod, I think, is the most obscene. Do you want to be standing there when... Your name is Arnold?
Yeah, my name's Arnold.
All right, Arnold. Suppose someone says, that Arnold, he takes a pole.
No, that's not what we were talking about. You said it looks like he's got a stick up his butt. And he does walk like he's got a stick up his butt. It looks you like see, he can't bend over.
I'm saying that that is hateful to say about a prospective president of the United States.
Yeah, but did you hear what Arnold said? It ain't about anything taken. There's a distinct...
Well, what's the difference?
There's a very big difference between saying he looks like he takes as opposed to he looks like he's got.
If I say he looks, if he's snobbish, is that's the same thing.
As
it's
what? Taking
basically
a,
the same thing. He's a snob.
No. Well, it's the same thing as saying what? That he takes a poll? No, it doesn't.
No.
Yes.
I'm just saying he's too straight. He looks like he's just a pole with feet on. It's he did.
Well,
he walks rigid.
Again, when you say he's too straight, that has sexual connotation. And what I'm trying to say...
No, he is a man who is... All right, well, look it. Let's say that it means what you say it means. Why can't people say that about him? And you are you say it's okay for you to say that President Bush has the look of a drug dealer?
Because President Bush does have the look of a drug dealer. There is nothing inflexible. There is nothing that the least bit rigid about Senator Kerry. He is fun-loving. I've been around the man. He's loose. He dances. He's quite a good dancer. Now, do you think it's fair, Arnold, to say about a man who can get out and dance
still free
the running man, cabbage patch, everything?
I can say that you're prejudiced against Republicans. I've got that right. This is America.
I'm not saying Republicans take a rod deep and wide.
No one said Kerry did either.
Yes, they did.
Well,
no,
all right. All right, look at Arnold, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Angie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Angie?
Yeah.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
Hey,
oh, finally a woman.
Basically, I just wanted to say that I do not support Bush either, but as far as...
I don't understand why people are finding fault with me. They're Kerry supporters like I am.
I think people are finding fault with what your stand on Senator Kerry.
Margaret.
On saying that Senator Kerry takes one.
No, and... Basically, you sound like a woman that's not really got her head screwed on straight, basically. You sound
I do. Well...
But to me, that...
You know something? I'm not going to characterize what you sound like to me, Angie, but I could, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. Senator Kerry could be President of the United States, and here we are on the air on the Phil Hendry Show saying... Ha, 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 Senator Kerry looks like he takes one off the chin. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, number one,
you know, what they're saying is Kerry,
one of the best things about living in the...
Yeah.
In the
they're saying, honey, Kerry looks like he takes one. You savvy?
Is that
you savvy?
You are free to say whatever
what
you want to say.
Exactly. Angie, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
Why did you cut her off?
We're going into our break. Margaret Gray is with us. She heard a woman say in a store today that Senator Kerry looked like he had a pole up his butt, and she considers that hate speech. She had the woman removed from the store. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You shop in that store. I've never heard of Josh Bennett's.
They just opened one in New York, but I've been to the one in Los Angeles, and I've been to several of them across the country. They're wonderful, and I went in to get, as I said, I went in to get a wrap, and this hick is in there, and I know that people are finding fault with me characterizing this tourist as a hick, but you automatically know who isn't a New Yorker and who is. Let me tell you who a New Yorker is. They ride the subway. That's number one. Number two, I think New Yorkers have a certain air. We have a way of, you know, of carrying ourselves. And when this rube is in there and she says, Senator Kerry has a poll, and I won't get it.
You know, I'm a little troubled by the graphic nature of what we've been...
Phil, I'm not being graphic.
No, I know. But let's just get it away from the... Say, Senator Kerry has a poll up his butt is fine. Is the saying to mean that he's a rigid guy?
Well, either way, it is hateful, disgusting, and I think is completely wrong, and to hear it from some hick,
that is...
But do you understand that that's what gives people the impression that you're kind of a snob, because you say to hear it...
No, but I'm in New York City, so I don't mind the American people. I love them. I've traveled all over this country. When I go to New York, I'm with my people, I guess is the best way I can put it. When I go to New York City, I'm finally in the bosom of a culture that understands me and I understand it. And in the middle of that, in the middle of a beautiful New York afternoon, to hear this tourist, you know, that Senator Kerry, you know, all of a sudden it's as if someone came up and hit you with a sledgehammer. I wanted to be sick all over myself.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Becky. Becky, go ahead.
This is Becky in Indiana.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
This is great. You know, you're no different than anybody else in the United States. I'm in Indiana, and we're special, too. You know what? And the problem is that you're the one that made it look like a sexual innuendo. The woman has the right to make her point or make her comment. You're the one that was eavesdropping when she was having her conversation. If you choose to feel that way, that's your problem. That's not what she was saying. The woman's saying it's the man is rigid, and that's what she's saying. You're the one that's changing it.
Well, first of all, I wasn't going to eavesdrop. I heard the name. She said, you know, that's Senator Kerry. And I leaned in a little bit to hear what
she... That's eavesdropping, I would say.
Well,
she has the right to say what she wants wherever she wants, Mr.
Well, she doesn't have the right to offend.
It's like you're on the radio, Mickey. I'm a Bush supporter. I think he's a great man. And you're sitting there saying he's a drug dealer. You're insulting yourself, Mrs. Gray.
That explains your
comment.
You're
not any better than that woman sitting in New York as a tourist making that comment. The people in Indiana are great, wonderful, awesome people no matter where they are. And I think you're rude, too.
I never said anything about Indiana. You're where you are. And
I don't care whether that's anything. You're talking about how wonderful the people in New York are. The people in Indiana are wonderful. And if somebody said it here, that's really right to their opinion.
I'll tell you what,
you're the one on the radio making big comments about it. You're the one turning it into a sexual comment.
All right, let's forget about the sex. Let's just talk about how rude.
I just want to say one of the best steakhouses I've ever been in is St. Elmo's Steakhouse in Indianapolis.
You betcha.
Isn't that awesome? You know, awesome the food. Way you pander to your listeners, I think is wrong. I think it's off point.
What do you mean pander?
To impress her.
He talks about talks to people like they're human beings.
Can I ask our president, who's our sitting president? Can I ask the host to have the woman in Indiana to shut up for a minute so that I can...
We don't use terms like shut up, okay?
No, I won't shut up. I mean, you've been talking all along.
All right,
making your negative comments, and so I'm just taking my chance.
Absolutely. Becky, I want to have both of you. I want to hear both of you guys. Can you hold on, Becky, where I'm going to go to a break and hang on the line, okay? We'll be right back.
Sure.
This is the Phil Henry Show. All right, are we clear? Margaret?
Yes.
Let's keep the comments down. What I want to do is make sure that everybody is heard.
I know, but the thing that I was trying to say to you is that...
How many seconds? 20 seconds? What?
You got another one of these rubes on the line. It's Indiana. She's not going to understand what I'm trying to say.
She is a caller from one of our affiliates. I don't know. I can't control. Listen to what she has to say.
Well, she's like that bitch that was in New York.
10 seconds.
The lady who was in... 10 seconds.
Just try to move the calls along faster. I don't want to be stuck on the line. She sounds like...
And we're back on the Phil Henry Show. All right, I want to go to a caller who's been hanging on, Becky in Indianapolis. I have Margaret on the line. I'm going to give Becky the first word. Go ahead, Becky.
Yeah, Margaret, you know what?
Yes.
You got to look in the mirror every morning, and I think you're a very rude person, and I heard your comments.
What comments?
And it's too bad because I wouldn't say those things about you.
What comments?
What we're talking about, comments that you made about President Bush and the innuendo that somebody said that Kerry looks like he's got a stick up his butt. He looks like he is stiff and rigid. You take it further than that.
I love people from Indiana. It's one of my favorite states.
I heard what you said. No, you don't.
You heard me say what?
I have the right to do that.
During the break, you said some insulting...
Yes, you did.
So in other words, no, I did not, and I'm going to...
You used the B word.
You called her a B-I-T-C-H. During the break, you said it.
I heard you.
You know,
now, that says exactly what you're about.
Nothing else
needs to be said. I'm done because
you know
what? Okay to this lady. She's
never
let me on.
I've never let the B-I-T-C-H word in my... Look at that. You
know very well during the break you said that.
Did you have to tell her that?
What?
Did you have to tell her?
I can't hear you.
Did you have to say that to her?
During the break, you said it, and she... How did that lady hear that? 1-800-449-8686. Francis, go ahead.
Hi, this is Francis. Margaret, I want to tell you that I am so sorry that I have to say this to you, but you typify the snobbish New Yorker that you are.
Where are you from, dear?
I'm from California,
I
live in
one
of the most beautiful places in the world, and you need to stay in New York.
You know,
because people like you, who have this attitude like you actually look down your nose in a condescending way towards other Americans. The only reason why you are free to speak in this country is because of other Americans. The Americans, like people like your father, who fought,
Senator Kerry,
could look down your nose at the rest of us.
No, I don't look down my nose. I
just like people.
Well, you
like
made the comment. You said that
Margaret,
you know, New York is a great place.
You did use the word bitch.
I most certainly did not.
Rube. You use that word constantly, rube. Like, what are you? Are you the queen? Did somebody just die and make you queen? And you can
sexual
towards
our
president
by
saying he looks like a drug dealer, and then come off by saying that you can say that in front of a classroom of children, and they'll be fine with that. That is the most disrespectful thing you can say to our president.
But you can say about him that he looks like a drug dealer, and you can't say stick up the butt in front of children.
He does not look like a drug dealer, and that is totally disrespectful. You need to go to another country or start your own.
All right, hold on, hold on. All right, Francis.
The rules that you live by are not the rules that the rest of us live by.
You know what you look like to me, Francis?
Margaret, but you need to move.
You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube.
I'm not a rube.
Yes, a good nutrition has given you length of bone, but
not
you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash.
I'm well-traveled.
Oh, how the boys found you, Francis.
With
all their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars, and all you wanted to do was get out, get anywhere, get all the way.
I really don't think anyone's going to be willing to take...
Oh, fly away.
All right, hold on, ladies.
No, I already said the thing that I said about her being a rube. I have nothing more to say.
I am not a rube. I am. I grew up.
You're not a well-scrubbed hustling rube.
I am not a rube.
You grew up in Tokyo.
I grew up in Tokyo. All right. So I am not a rube, or I'm not a hick. Okay.
Well, here's something that'll make you feel at home.
Bigger than New York. Okay.
Francis, can I ask you something seriously?
More sophisticated than you, New York.
Hold on. We got it. What did you say, Margaret?
I want to ask Francis something. You're from Tokyo, correct?
I grew up in Tokyo.
All right. When you see a mushroom cloud, does that make you feel at home? I'm just kidding. What I really want to say is...
That's as tasteless as anything I've heard ever. To say that to a caller.
What?
When you see a mushroom cloud, does it make you feel at home?
She's been going on about how Senator Kerry has a pole up his rear end.
Somebody needs to stick one up your rear end so you know what it looks like.
Can I ask you something?
Okay?
Growing up in Japan, do you have Mr. Spock hair?
You know what?
I don't need to get personal.
Yeah, it's really...
You know, I know lots of New Yorkers, and most of them are typical of what you're like.
Here's what's going to prove my point. What part of California are you from?
Central California, the most
beautiful
area. There you
go. When they come from farm belt land, they always put down the big city people.
I live near Santa Barbara.
Oh, well, that's real big city, Santa Barbara. What do they got?
Yeah, it is. And you know what?
You can spit from one city limit to the next.
We're not a bunch of hicks out here. Okay,
you know, just because you run out every Friday and get your Mo Howard bowl haircut doesn't mean I've got to sit here and be insulted.
Excuse me, I get my haircut in Sausalito. Do you know where that is?
Isn't that some little burg outside of that tiny little town?
It's in Marin County outside of San Francisco, one of the most liberal cities in the country. But you should know that.
Let me ask you something, Francis.
You are so sophisticated.
Coming from Japan, do you have good peripheral vision?
You're
with that?
So sophisticated. You don't need to go into my history. I'm telling you, I am not a hick. Like you think everyone else is.
Well, I will tell you this much. Coming from New York City, you expect a certain kind of decorum, a certain kind of culture.
Listen, I worked on Wall Street.
A certain kind of value.
You know, I'm not unfamiliar with New York.
And listen to some hick from God knows where say that Miss Francis, not only Mo, but Larry Fine, both got a haircut in Sausalito. So I wouldn't be proud of that.
All right, look.
What are you proud of?
I'm proud of the fact that I will cast a vote for John Kerry, a man who I think was slandered today in a department store in New York City by some rube coming out of the holler.
Right.
Yeah,
and
all right.
You can determine who's making a... Did you just fart?
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Fart?
I did not. I belched. I'm sorry. I had dinner. I'm sorry.
Too much.
You know what? That is unbelievable. Francis, thank you for your call.
So that's how it's going to be, huh?
You're the one that did it. You belched.
You're not going to cut me off until I explain myself.
Sorry. Yeah, I know what you had. You had Chinese for lunch. Yeah, I know your usual line. Both Mo Howard and Larry Fine got their hair cut in Sausalito, so I wouldn't be too proud of that. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. One of these days I'm going to listen to that woman, and I'm actually going to get some information about the bloody campaign. Coming up, Lloyd Bonafide next hour. Walter David Maynard with Halloween costume tips. What makes this segment a little different, Walter David Maynard is a maximum security prisoner at Rayford Prison in Florida. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and the Phil Hendry version of the Jim Rome Show. And I believe we do have that breaking news now. Bob Bakian is coming up in just a few moments. Stick around. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. All the way to the FBI. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bob Bakian has some breaking news. Go ahead, Bob.
Phil, we have just learned urban areas in a number of cities across the country have experienced some level of disturbance tonight since the news that Jay Leno will host the Tonight Show until 2009. There has been a meeting of civil rights leaders from all areas of the country condemning the move by NBC to hire Mr. Leno through 2009. The quote from Reverend Matthew Jackson of Urban March, as long as Jay Leno hosts the Tonight Show, there will never be racial justice in America. This is Bob Bakian reporting.
All right, so there's the news from Bob Bakian. Let's go now to our flashback, Vernon Dozier. And he is a coach, a high school football coach, who feels the kids in Florida actually benefit from living through hurricanes because it toughens up their high school players. They actually face death. And he wants his players to be tough, so he butts cigars on their forearms. Here's Coach Dozier.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi, I'm from Florida, lived there all my life.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a two-week or a week window where you can get out of town. I am sitting on St. Andrea's Fault, mister. And as I sit here, the ceiling can cave in on me, and I'm dead.
Wait a minute.
You're comparing
I thought you said you were in Florida. You were in Florida?
I came from Florida.
No, you said a minute ago you were in Florida.
I lived there all my life.
There's no San Andreas Fault.
I have been through every hurricane imaginable. Well, you don't know what you're talking about.
I want to point out, she thinks she is a San Andreas Fault runs through Florida, and it doesn't.
San Andreas Fault runs underneath me. I live in Palm Springs,
I just moved to California.
She moved to California.
From where?
Florida. Melbourne, Florida, that was hit.
I've lived in Florida all my life. You mentioned something about tornadoes. We don't have tornadoes in California.
Oh, no, but they've got them in Oklahoma, so let's not play the football teams in Oklahoma. And then we have St. Helens that's erupting in Washington State. Let's not let our team go to Washington State.
We've had one volcano erupt in like a million years. And you're going, oh, God, I'm talking about hurricanes.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Through.
You're not from there. I am, buddy.
Lady, I come from the South, and I can tell you.
You come from the South? I come from Florida.
Yeah, well, that's the South.
Now, where are you in the South?
I come from Charlotte, North Carolina. Originally.
Hello.
All right, so I know all about hurricanes.
Oh, sure. You know what? Yeah. How long have you been here?
I wasn't sitting on the beach
with
the police.
How long have you been here?
The police come and get you and put you away in the senior center so you can sit there and eat pablum, okay? I've got to go out with all the grown-ups.
You need to retire because if you ever put a cigarette butt in my kid's hand, I'd do the same thing to you.
Do what?
Do what? What right do you have to abuse a child like that?
What right did you have to raise your family in Florida where a kid could get severed?
You don't know what you're... You know something?
Wait a minute,
you need a psychiatrist,
Virginia, this is Phil Hendry. I want to jump in. Did you raise a family in Florida?
Absolutely. Okay, I've got one son and two daughters.
Okay.
See, right there, abuse. And I'm talking about the kind where a boy could go out... She's laughing at the fact that a kid could die in a hurricane. She thinks that's funny.
A kid could die in an earthquake, too, mister.
We get earthquakes like every 3 years, okay?
Oh, yeah?
You guys had four hurricanes...
As long as I've lived, I was born there.
It is good to put a kid through a hurricane because it toughens him up.
You don't know what you're talking about.
We got a lot of candy asses out here.
You know, you need to retire.
All right. Let me jump in, Virginia. You're fighting fire. I agree with Virginia.
Every time she thinks about a hurricane killing a kid, she thinks that's funny. What I'm trying to say is motivating young people to do their very best. It's something that I know about.
You have to use brute force to do that?
What are your kids doing now, Virginia?
My one daughter is a psychologist,
the other one's an interior designer,
and my son owns a flooring company,
college graduate.
You're
not talking to the old biddies around the pool now. You're talking to Vernon. What do your kids really do? What do your kids really do?
I just told you.
I said I'm not one of the old biddies around the pool. You know, you lie to
What
them.
Are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You have a bolt loose.
Old people lie about what their kids do to other old people.
You know, you're sick.
I'm sick?
You need to call my daughter. She's a shrink. She could really do a number on you.
She's a shrink, or is she just one of those nurses that holds the keys?
She's in Los Angeles.
What's her name?
Alex.
Oh, no, don't tell. I don't want any names given.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to protect.
Oh, see, you don't want her name because you want to protect her, but me, I got to sit here and eat sawdust.
Well, who told you to call on the phone?
I'm the guest on the show.
Well, get off.
You're not the guest.
Get off.
Hey, let me ask you something, Virginia. How many bedpans does your daughter really change every day? Because if she's a psychiatrist...
What are you talking
If she's
about?
A psychiatrist, my name is Vince Lombardi.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Man, that's classic stuff right there. Can't we get that on our 2004 CD? Hey, by the way, speaking of the 2004 CD, it's coming up, baby. And we're going to have all the signings. We're going to do all the stuff we do every year with our brand new Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD. This year's CD is entitled Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. And it's going to have not only an entire CD of our great phone calls, an entire CD of our great skits as well. Skippy and Frank, you know, Walter David Maynard, whatever that crap is we do. Bob Bakey and some stuff like that. So it's available on our website soon. Not now, but soon. While you're at our website, why don't you pick up our Best of the Year 2003 CD. And you know what? All of the CDs are available. I mean, my friend's place has got some, you know, from all of the years. So if you're missing one, like the 2000 or whatever, 90, they go all the way back to 97. Go to my friend's place, all right? And go to the website. Pick them up. Lloyd Bonafide coming up next hour. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8666. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Lloyd, go ahead, man. We're on the air with Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead.
It's just that we are very concerned, of course, what these candidates will do for senior citizens.
The situation in your neighborhood, though.
Well, this gentleman who has moved in to this home across the street from our home is a senior citizen himself. He's a widower. My wife is closing the door to the den. He's a widower. He's 65 years of age. He has his gym exercise equipment and so forth.
Okay, and you say he's got a sports car.
Yes, sir. Now, the neighborhood we live in is primarily senior citizens. Most of us have owned our homes for quite some time. I bought the house we live in now in 1957 when I was discharged for the Navy in Long Beach, and we moved up here.
Okay.
And most of the people here have lived in the neighborhood for a long time. And this gentleman now has moved in, and he is exhibiting a lifestyle that I think is unusual for the rest of us because we're retired people. I am retired, and he is, I think, we don't want to get a lot of these, especially to our wives, who are senior citizens. Our wives are all older women, old ladies, and this guy, we're afraid is going to get them agitated, I guess. And
what do you mean by agitated? This is a, he's a single man?
Yes, sir. His wife passed on, I believe, last March.
Okay.
And his presence with the gym equipment that he has and with his sports car and so on, we've got a situation in our neighborhood where our wives are content. They're older women, and they are used to, a very content life.
Okay, and what is, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. What is your primary concern with this man moving in?
That Well, the primary concern, Phil, is that he's going to get a lot of the women, and these are old ladies who are going to get a little restless and are going to get agitated by his presence. And I spoke with my wife about it, and she understood. She said, and you know, it isn't any secret at my age, a lot of these men are taking blood pressure medicine. As a result, they're not able to engage, I guess, is the way to put it politely, physically. And you don't want to stir up a lot of these old ladies when you have this guy. So,
all right, what has he done anything overtly?
Well, I went over to his house, and I did what I do with every new neighbor. I said, "Hello, my name's Lloyd Bonafide. Welcome to the neighborhood." I said, "Okay, that's out of the way." I said, "I want to tell you that you're unusual for this neighborhood, and you're gonna agitate a lot of these old ladies that live here." And he was listening to me, and I said, "By the gym equipment." So we asked him if he would close his garage door so he's not showing his gym equipment and the car.
Okay.
And also to keep the car in the garage so that he is not flaunting his lifestyle in such a way as to agitate and get these old, you know, a lot of our wives stirred up.
Are you afraid that he is going to have an affair or...
I don't know. I don't believe so. But you don't want to get the wives in this neighborhood, we don't want to get them dissatisfied and stirred up you know... So,
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I think I understand what you're saying. So you have asked this man to close his garage door, and...
That is correct. But this is the thing that I think Bush and Cheney need to address. And I'm very concerned, to tell you the truth, because he said to me, "Why do I have to close my garage door?" And I said, "Well, now here, see, now you're getting..." And I said, "Now you're getting in my face." And
all right, he did not want to close his garage door, thus not being, people can't see the gym equipment.
That's right.
Well, I guess it's his right.
Well, let me tell you what. This is a neighborhood, we protect our women in this neighborhood. And he's got gym equipment and he's got a Corvette. And it gets these wives of ours, they get, you know, they're going to get agitated. So I told this guy, "Let me tell you what, I want that garage door closed. I want that gym equipment out of sight, and I want that Corvette out of sight." And he says to me, "Well, I don't have to do that." I said, "Let me tell you what. I'm a Korean War vet."
Well, hold on for a minute. Let me take the pulse of the audience on this. 1-800-449-8686.
But I told him I was a Navy veteran.
No, I understand. 1-800-449-8686. do you have the right to tell your neighbor to close his garage door to keep the gym equipment and his Corvette and everything from being seen outside of his house? Because he is I guess you could say that this man is a single available senior citizen.
Yeah, that is correct.
And so a lot of the women in the neighborhood, even though they're all married, you say are going to get agitated. Could you tell me what you mean by agitated?
It gets them thinking thoughts, and you know, we got a lot of friends of mine who had blood pressure medicine and so on and so forth. They can't do the business, as you say, you know. And the old ladies that live here will go, because we've kept the women.
And when you say you kept the women...
Well, no, we've kept... The women are calm and have a nice, serene lifestyle. Now this guy comes with his Corvette and his gym equipment, so I told him, close the garage door.
And he refused.
He refused me, and I said to him, "Let me tell you what, I'm a United States Naval veteran," and that didn't seem to impress him. I said, "I've seen action in Korea, so, you know, I have written a letter, too, to City Councilman Thompson on it."
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide, you live in Alhambra, right?
Yes, sir.
And you have told a neighbor to keep the garage door closed where he has gym equipment, a Corvette, and other manifestations, I would say, of an active single life. He's living in a neighborhood.
Well, that's the other thing. Why did he move into our neighborhood where we have a great many older women who whose health is not that strong, and he runs around with his gym equipment and his Corvette, which can only agitate these old ladies?
All right, I understand. So you're asking why he's moved into the neighborhood generally exhibiting a single lifestyle while there's so many married couples, many of them older women, who are going to get overwrought by his presence?
Well, I don't know if the word's overwrought, but you got a lot of these old women who are married to us, and they sit there, and now here comes this guy showing off all of his gym equipment. And it can only, let me tell you, I know women, I've been married for 40 years, it only stimulates them and agitates them. And so...
So you feel it reasonable to go and tell him, shut the garage door...
Shut the garage door, and when the Corvette comes in, it goes in. The other thing is he doesn't have an automatic garage door opener, so when he pulls up, he's got to open it. So that's all the more time the Corvette's sitting on the driveway. And I said to him, let me tell you what. You get a garage door opener, you could go down to Sears and get the Genie garage door opener. The man will come out and install it. He said, well, you know, he mumbled something. So, you know, this is why I've talked to Congressman Thompson, or excuse me, City Councilman Thompson, and why I'm concerned with the debates on Thursday night.
I understand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. A single man and a widower, who he's the same age as the rest of you guys.
Well, he's about 65, 66.
Okay, he's a little bit younger, but has moved into your neighborhood. He is single, and he has a Corvette and gym equipment, and he's kind of active, and you feel that him exhibiting all of that gym equipment, having his Corvette parked out in the driveway, only serves to, I'm quoting you, agitate and make the women in the neighborhood a little restless.
Yes, and they start thinking, you know, impure thoughts or what have you. And
you are asking this man to close his garage door so you can't see his Corvette and his gym equipment, and he has refused to do that.
He has refused to do that. Now, I'm waiting for a response from the city councilman. I really don't want to go to the next level, because if I go to the next level, I'm a Korean War veteran.
All right, sir, I don't want... Please don't intimate violence.
No. Let me tell you what. You know, it's not going to be violent. I don't do that. I'll go up to him and I'll put a finger in his face and I'll tell him.
Well, you don't want to have to muscle a neighbor when you can solve these things amicably. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. What is it to be a good neighbor? In the case of this one man who lives across the street from Mr. Bonafide would like him to simply close his garage door so his Corvette and his gym equipment are not readily seen by the wives in the neighborhood who have been married many years to their husbands and could become, as he said, overwrought or agitated seeing this available senior gentleman who is single, a widower. His wife died, my understanding, last spring. He's gone to a city councilman, and he has also talked to a couple of local congressmen about his rights to go over there and tell the guy to shut the garage door. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten her children? Have you seen them lately?
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Lloyd Bonafide with me, a gentleman who lives in Alhambra, California. The neighborhood they live in is one that is, I guess the kids have grown up and moved away, isn't that correct?
Yes, sir. We all had, I raised my daughter here. And
so everyone there is pretty much a senior now, and this new man moved in. He's a senior citizen, but he's single. He has a lot of gym equipment. He drives a Corvette.
And he likes to show it all. And I simply said to him, let me tell you what, keep your Corvette and your gym equipment inside the garage because you are, all the women in the neighborhood are all getting stirred up, and you've got a lot of men on blood pressure medicine and so forth.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Kay here. Hi, Kay, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make a comment here. I've been listening to this gentleman who's lived there for several years.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why he is upset because he thinks the women are going to get riled up. What the problem is, he is jealous of this new man that has moved into the neighborhood because he obviously is available.
I'm a Korean War veteran. I'm a United States naval.
I'm a ex-spouse of a naval officer, too, and I've lived that type of life. But I want you to know that if you get to be in your mid-60s, you should have the right to live anywhere that you want to.
Oh, I don't want him to move.
If you want to own a car
and
gym equipment.
Right, hold on. Kay, hold on for a minute. Can you hear? Lloyd, don't interrupt.
I want to make a point. Number one, I'm not trying to get the man to move. I simply want him to keep his Corvette and his gym equipment hidden away from the women.
Do you keep your lawnmower hidden from the neighbors? Do you keep your dog hidden from the neighbors?
I hardly believe that my lawnmower is an obscene way of trying
but
to stimulate.
If you're out mowing your yard, you're going to stir up the neighbor ladies. And this man,
you want to make a joke about a man not being able to do the business because he's on blood pressure?
That has nothing to do with it, okay? Looking makes no difference. It's the acting.
Well, here's the what I simply asked him to do. Keep his gym equipment and his Corvette. He can go out, and you know he wears the wraparound sunglasses, and don't you know he's got his hair all oiled back the way a lot of them do.
Why don't you wear yours that way, or do you not have any hair?
Because I happen to be an American. I'm not one of these greasy,
lot of Americans that
wear my hair.
Type of sunglasses. They're very popular for all ages now.
This man is 66 years of age. He has no business driving a Corvette. He has no business.
Wait a minute. What do you mean he has no business driving a...
He lives in a neighborhood with retired people, with a lot of old ladies that only get agitated when they see this kind of thing.
Are you a
widow?
What difference does it make? Do you look at women? Do you just look at women and go on about your business?
Let me tell you what.
It doesn't hurt a thing for the women to see him out there and go about their business. If they act upon going over there and getting acquainted with him in a intimate way, that's where it's wrong.
Well, that's what
I don't know why you should be upset because this man has moved in there and has these items and...
He's trying to keep
his body in shape.
Well, I told Bill McMillan lives next door to me. I said, now, I've seen your wife, and she was looking at him, and Bill, had a talk to his wife, and she got with the program.
Well, what do you mean she was looking at him?
I had seen her out front looking over there at his Corvette there. I said to Bill, your wife is getting agitated and worked up by this guy.
Even if she did, it's none of your business.
All right.
It's not your wife.
All right, Kay, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Lily. Lily, go ahead. You're on with Lloyd Bonafide.
Hello?
Yes, Lily, go ahead.
Hello. I live in Bellevue, Washington.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I was born in 1943.
Yes,
that
ma'am.
That means I'm going to be 62 next year.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think to have someone next door to you that drives a Corvette and has exercise equipment, it's the way that you should live. Because if you had some exercise equipment, maybe you could throw the heart medication away. Because 60... No, wait a minute.
I was in the Korean War.
Okay.
I seen guys get their heads severed
my
off.
My husband served also in the Vietnamese War. And he's
not
60.
Vietnam, I was Korea.
That is okay. I'm 60. I'm going to be 62 years old next year. I can't wait for Social Security. I exercise every day, and to have someone that's in their 60s drive a Corvette and exercise, I think that's a model for us that are in our 60s.
Now, what about that, Lloyd?
It should not be something that you hide away.
What about that, Lloyd?
Well, here's the problem I've got. He drives this Corvette that causes this vibrating sound, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
It is wonderful.
They vibrates and everything, and the women get...
No. A Corvette,
well, that's my understanding.
A Corvette or a Harley has a wonderful natural vibration.
Yeah.
And so do barbells. And right food and minerals.
See, that's what, to me, that's obscene. For a woman of...
You've got the wrong vibrations because you want to shut things like that out.
But for a woman to straddle, ma'am, for a woman of your age to straddle a Harley Davidson and get your kicks,
hey, listen, I'm 118 pounds, and I chop wood with my husband. I use an 8-pound sledge.
Yeah, but this guy's out there,
and
then
we just cut.
So in other words, you straddle a Harley
Davidson.
Can I ask you a question? So you straddle a Harley Davidson because you want to feel the vibration.
No,
see,
no,
to me, that's obscene.
Saying,
that is patently...
No, wait a minute. Wait.
I love it.
That's not what she said.
This guy with his Corvette is trying to get the women...
It's wonderful to have a Corvette. It's wonderful to
have so you like to run around out there and show everybody what you got, huh?
No.
Not me. Not me, mister. Not me.
No. You would. If you had the right vibes...
I'm eating some dried fruit. Give me some dried fruit. I'm eating dried fruit right now, which keeps me clean, and that's all I need. And yet you and this guy with his Corvette and his vibrations, he's going to vibrate all the way.
I think
kind of nuts.
You've got the wrong idea, sir.
That's hooey.
You
it's
might
a load of hooey.
To a cave.
Thank you very much, Lily. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey Phil, new listener. As for this old guy, dude needs just to go to Denny's, get his early bird special, and keep watching Matlock.
Oh, so that's what you think, huh?
Yeah. Well,
let me tell you what.
Right,
this guy's
going to
close.
Buddy.
He's going to close his garage door. He's going
to
get
not,
what
he doesn't
for?
Have to close his garage door.
Then why is he showing off everything to the neighborhood ladies?
Because he wants to. You should go. Just keep watching your Matlock and don't worry about him.
Hey, I don't watch Matlock, okay?
Good.
I watch TV Land. They have a lot. I bet you think you're some kind of a tough guy, huh?
All right,
don't
look.
Think of that.
Look, the dude is not trying to...
Yeah, he's trying to get in my grill. Aren't you? What a moron.
All right, 1-800-449-whatever. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Lloyd Bonafide with me for our last round of phone calls. I just want to ask you, if the man refuses to... This gentleman who lives across the street from you, he has his garage door open, showing his gym equipment, showing a Corvette. You say the guy wears wraparound shades. He's 65. And,
Mister, I don't have any problem with the way a man lives.
Well, it sounds to me like you do. It sounds to me like you don't want... You say the women in the neighborhood.
It's our wives who look over at him and they start thinking about... They get agitated and stirred up and thinking about, you know, leaving the life that they have because a guy's on blood pressure medicine and can't do the business. So now she wants to ride around in some guy's Corvette and feel it vibrate up and down and everything. And it's obscene. And I told the guy, I said, that garage door is going to get shut one way or another. And I can tell you right now, because I was a welder in the Navy, when I first started out, I could weld that garage door shut. And I'll go over there and I'll weld that. God.
You need to calm down.
Calm down would be when I get response. And this is the reason why these guys that run for president, I want to look at these debates on Thursday night.
You're going to weld a guy's garage door shut. You're going to get into some legal problems.
I'm a Korean War veteran, sir.
All right, here is Sonia. Go ahead, Sonia.
Well, I have a comment. This is the United States of America, the land of freedom.
Holy
people come
geez.
Here to have
here,
the
Natasha?
Freedom. And if you...
Look,
if
I fought
you
for this
lose,
I was in the Korean
if
War
you
fighting the Chinese.
To lose your wife,
and a lot of
then
Russians.
You better shut your own door and mind your own business. And the man, I respect the man of 60 years old, active, gym, Corvette,
hey, let
having
me ask
fun.
You something, Sonia. Where's
maybe
Count Dracula?
Maybe you should learn how to have
That's
a good time.
Hold on, Sonia. What did you say, Lloyd?
Well, she won't listen to me. I fought for this country in Korea, and this the Bride of Frankenstein here is telling me...
What is the Bride of Frankenstein supposed to mean? Where are you from, Sonia? From Russia?
No, I born in Egypt. I raised in Africa. I married an American.
Sounds like that.
I married an American, and yeah. I live in the United States for 30 years, and I love the country because of my freedom.
Are you an American citizen, or are you one of these
illegals
that works out
yes,
there in the
I
fields?
Am.
There you go. So, Sonia, you're saying just shut the door and mind your own business.
Definitely.
As opposed to...
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. You're taking the side of King Tut's sister here over me?
I'm not taking no side. You're sticking your nose in everybody's business because you're afraid to lose your wife to a handsome man working and having a good time and try to be in shape.
You know, Sonia,
if you don't like it, you move out.
Would you do me a favor and just say the following words? 3 tunnel leaves is all you need to reactivate the mummy. Go ahead.
What are you trying to do now?
Don't you know what tunnel leaves are?
I come to this country
because
I love this country and I marry one. I don't need an idiot like you to tell me what to do.
No, I'm simply an idiot. I fought for this country in Korea against a bunch of Egyptians.
I respect that. I respect that. That's a different story.
Nobody is disrespecting that. What we're saying, Lloyd, is this country, you don't go over and weld a guy's garage door shut because he's got gym equipment. And
can't you just say the ton of leaves will bring, you know...
What's with the ton of leaves, man?
It's the movie The Mummy, for God's sake. Oh, God, she sounds just like that old lady in The Mummy.
I think Sonia, you sound a little bit more like the gypsy lady in the movie, the Wolfman movie.
Yeah, there you go. I say that whole deal about even a man who's good and says his prayers at night can become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the moon is full and bright. Can you do that?
That guy should learn how to have fun.
Freaking nuts.
He should have a good time and live life and enjoy what is left of his life.
Hey, let me ask you something, Sonia.
And learn how to get along.
When you lived in Egypt, Sonia, did you carry a basket on your head, or did you, you know, how does that work?
You know what, Mr. Bonafide, all of us...
You don't need to insult nobody.
I'm not insulting. I want to know what
it is. You need to get educated, and you need... I've been around the world, 36 countries around the world.
Yeah. You've traveled a lot,
this is the land I love.
I want to ask a question,
America,
to the host. Why are
the
you
land of opportunity and freedom.
Okay,
you should learn what the United States means.
I want to ask the host a question, if I could, because I'm the guest, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you interviewing Cleopatra here, or what's going on?
Sir, I am talking to my callers, and your smart-ass remarks...
You calling me a smart-ass? I got a guy across the street. My wife wants to vibrate in his Corvette. And you got a lady on the line here who, you know, you give her half a chance, she's going to turn a man into a werewolf. Do you know how to play the flute to make the snake come out of the basket, that kind of a deal?
All right, Sonia, thank you for your call, because now what he's doing is he's just being a smart-ass. I think you made some very good points, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're very kind. Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
You're very kind.
You know, that tears it right there.
What?
The fact that you're being nice to some lady who probably gave a guy some kind of a potion, turned him into a wild animal, and you remember her son turned into a wolf.
What are you talking about, man? When's the last time I seen a freaking wolf man?
That's the gypsy lady. I'll bet you money. That's the gypsy lady. So help me, Jesus. I'll slit both wrists and run down the street saying, I'm Jesus, I'm Jesus. Anything you need.
The gypsy lady.
Hello. Give me the phone back.
Hold on.
I'm sorry, yes. Who's this?
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Give me the phone back. You're the gypsy.
I'm sorry, is this the Phil Radio Show?
Yes.
I'm very sorry. That man is one of our patients.
I thought he was a guy that...
No, he called all the radio show. He called John and Ken and all that mess. He get on all the shows, have everybody believe it. I always have
him. The gypsy ladies.
I got your gypsy ladies swinging. So I'm very sorry, sir. And
This is the Phil Henry Show?
Yes. He got out of our day room and got over to the payphone. And so we gave him a quarter. He wanted to go get a paper. I said, well, here's a quarter. You go get a paper. It turned out...
I want my candy sticks and my fancy robe. And the gypsy woman's going to turn me into a werewolf.
The phone, or I'm gonna spank the bad boy.
Now, ma'am,
hold on. I'll spank the bad boy.
Oh, please, in the name of everything holy. Ow, it hurts good.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry, we love your program.
Baba Booey.
Woo! Word up to your mom.
That's heavy. That's heavy, man.
All right. Well, there you go. That's Lloyd. Something's going on over there at the retirement home. I don't know whether he's calling from his house. Was that his wife? Is he in the nut bin? What? Tomorrow night, we got Jay Santos. And so how do you solve that problem with that old guy with the, I don't know. Anyway, our number, 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos. Stick around. We still got more on the Phil Hendry Show. Walter David Maynard, the ex, well, actually, he's on death row in Florida. He'll tell you how to make nice Halloween costumes. And we've got a couple of more phone calls to get to here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You flip a phone in a Korean War veteran and you pull back a bloody stump.
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I have on the line now Mr. Maynard. Are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Walter David Maynard, talking to us from the Union Correctional Institute in Rayford, Florida. Good evening to you.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
And tonight you want to talk to us about what?
Tonight I'm going to talk about how to make a Halloween costume.
Mr. Maynard, I got to ask you something, first of all. You're on, my understanding is, are you on death row?
I'm on, minimum. It's called intermediate lockup, which means that I have been placed out of general population, and I'm in an area now that's intermediate before I get transferred to maximum lockup, which is where I'm going to serve out my sentence.
Now, have you been sentenced to death, sir?
Yes, I have.
Can you tell me what your crime was?
Well, they say, it's murder.
Yeah, I know, but specifically?
Well, they say that I set fire to an orphanage, but they had the wrong guy. They knew they had the wrong guy.
Now, but, sir, you've made that claim before. Were you not caught with gasoline matches and soaked gasoline rags?
They did catch that on me, yeah, but that was a coincidence. Anyway, there's a lady in Ocala, Florida, who has heard my story, and she's going to hire me a lawyer and everything. She's a nice lady. Can I give her name?
Go ahead.
Yeah, her name is Mrs. Faye Perline. She lives in Ocala, Florida. She's going to hire me a lawyer and everything. She's a good lady, and I told her that I wasn't guilty. She knows that it was all wrong. And
so you didn't set fire to that orphanage and burn it to the ground?
No. That's what they said I did. No, I...
So what you say was a coincidence that you had gasoline, soaked rags, and matches.
It happened, just so happened I happened to have those, yeah.
Why did you have those?
I don't remember now, but I knew I needed them for something, you know.
Not to burn down an orphanage, though?
Not to my knowledge, no.
All right, let's get on with the segment of the program, How to Make a Halloween Costume. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to tell about how to make a Halloween costume. If you want, you can take a sheet and cut out holes for the eyes. You can put it over your head, and you can go as a ghost. Another thing you can do is go down to the store and get a skeleton costume. It's black, and they got a skeleton painted on it, too. There's some other things you can do.
Well, what else?
You can get a mask that looks like a hobo, stuff like that. I just basically want to let you know that I'm starting an appeal process. If you'd like to send donations to my defense fund, you can do it through... Mrs. Perline, Mrs. Perline Fay, she is in Ocala, Florida.
Wait a minute. You're coming on to do a Halloween costume segment. You gave me cut out the eyes from a sheet and be a ghost, buy a skeleton costume, and get a hobo mask.
Or you, the other thing I was going to say, but I thought, you know...
What?
Well, you could put a bag on your head and cut out eyes from the bag on the head and draw a smile on it or something. You could go with, like, Frankenstein or something like that. That's just some ideas I had on.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I want to give that lady's address out one more time because her name is Faye Perline, Ocala, Florida. And she's raising money for my defense, so if you could do that.
Yeah, okay.
One more question, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Can I get one of your CDs, too?
My CDs, sir, are for charity, and, they cost $20.
But I don't have any money, so I was just wondering if you could give me a CD.
All right, I'll give you a CD, okay?
Can I just get one of those Ted Bell shirts, too, or anything like that?
No, sir, they cost a lot of money.
I just trade the stuff inside, that's all.
All right, send him a Ted Bell shirt, too.
What about one of them? Okay, that's great. I'd probably... How about one of them shot glasses, too?
All right, thanks a lot. Hey, try that at home, kids. Cut out the holes in a bag and put it over your head.
What about one of them belt watches?
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Let me go over here to... still on the line there, huh? Is this John? Hey, John?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good.
Phil, I got to tell you, I get such a thrill out of you. I can't tell you how much I enjoy your show.
And where are you in the hospital?
Yeah, I'm on the ICU. And I've had a heart condition for a long time. And when I come in here, I said, would you let me listen to Phil Henry? And they said, yeah.
You don't sound well.
I'm not. I'm not well at all. And I thought I'd call and ask you if... Before I die, could you please just make me laugh one more time?
Of course I'd like to make you laugh, sir.
Please, just make me laugh one more time, Phil, before I die.
All right.
Please, Phil.
Well, you want me to do a Margaret voice or something? Like a...
Will you come on?
Well, hi there. This is...
Oh, way to go. The guy's dead.
Sir?
I'm going to tell Mr. Hall.
About what?
You killed a guy?
I didn't kill it. Kirk, turn the phone off, man.
You killed a man. I'm telling.
I didn't kill anybody. You're the guy that put the call through. Hold on. Yeah, David.
What did you do? What did you do?
David, all he did was he put a call through.
He put a call through from a man who was terminally ill and wanted you to make him laugh one more time, and you went into a cheesy, half-hearted Margaret impression, and he's dead. Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
I...
Nothing, as usual. No out, no punchline, no way to wrap the bit. Just going to let me sit here on the phone. Why did you use the A-list material? Like Jesus walked into a bar and handed, the innkeeper three nails and said, can you put me up for the night?
That's an old freaking joke.
Well, it's a shot. It's at least worth the shot.
Sorry.
Well, sorry don't bring back the dead.
Yeah, I heard it happen, Mr. Hall. I heard everything. The guy...
Oh, shut up, bud. Phil, I want to see you in my office tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
I thought you were on vacation.
That's right. I'm on vacation. I'm in Mexico, but I want you in my office at 9 a.m. Just stand there.
And look at an empty desk.
Yes.
All right. So I got to be in David's office tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. even though he's not there? And I'll just stand there like a bad boy, I suppose. 1-800-449-8686. On the line with me now is Jeff Dowder. He's a professor of mechanical physics. Mr. Dowder, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Phil. I'm sorry about you croaking that old man and everything, but I wanted to tell you about something that I think is going to be exciting for a lot of working people who don't get a lot of sleep at night. I've had insomnia for a long time, and I've come up with something called the Jeff Dowder look-alike mannequin. And it is something that you can put at your computer terminal. It looks just exactly like, you. And when your boss comes by, your supervisor, they'll think it's you. And you're, in the back, crashed. Yeah, you're crashed. So what do you think?
What are you, with the driving range, man, at 10 o'clock at night?
Well, I'm just hitting a bucket of balls. What do you think?
All right, so you made a mannequin, and the mannequin looks exactly like the guy, so when the supervisor comes by, he thinks it's you.
Basically, yeah.
You know what? I'm tired of this stuff. I'm tired of these crank calls that you're putting through tonight, Pelton. You're fired. You and all of your people. Get them out of here. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What? What do you want?
Don't you want the punchline?
Go ahead.
The mannequin looks just like me. It don't look like you.
Right. Tomorrow night, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. Also, Phil Hendry's Jim Rome show tomorrow night. We'll have, of course, a lot of other things coming up toward the debate. We'll be looking at the debate as it happens on Thursday night. And I just give you the heads up right now that, you know, I would actually really rather you watch the debate. I'd rather you be, informed. But we will have our show on Thursday night. We're actually going to have a full hour of best of material between in our first hour anyway. And then we'll be live for the rest of the show after the debate. Listen to us live in between all of the baloney. Sometimes we say something smart. Not much. But
can I get a Bud Dickman mannequin?
No, man. It's a Jeff Dowder mannequin. It looks like him.
So they'll think it's me.
How will they think it's you if it looks like him?
Maybe they think they fired me.